Season 2, Episode 3. And today we're speaking with Steve Roos, who is the CEO and co-founder of Pogdoc, an exciting UK health tech startup that is focusing on access, especially when it comes to testing. And with that in mind, we dive deep into the interview. Welcome, Steve. It's such a pleasure to have you with us today. And I've heard a lot about you. I know, you know, that you're a fellow podcaster. You're also doing the Health Tech Hour, and it's really fantastic. And actually, you are the second podcaster that I got to interview, because in season one, we had Tiasa, who's also doing Faces of Digital Health. And now I have the honor to meet Steve from the Health Tech Hour. We don't have an hour, Steve. We have a little bit less.
It's just nice to be the other side of the desk, you know. Normally, okay. I'm the one doing the interview on the,
all right,
okay, on the Health Tech Hour. So it's nice to be the other side. So yeah, looking forward to talking to you.
Cheers, Steve. Like, we love to focus on stories here at the Digital Health Voice. And that brings me to the first question. And I want to know, like, what brought you here on the Digital Health Voice? Like, what's your digital health journey? Like, what made you tick and say, all right, I'm going to dedicate a significant amount of my life in working on a digital health / medtech startup? So what got you there? Like, what's your story?
Yeah, it's a great question. Great way to start. So Pogdoc, which is the company that I run and I've co-founded, is really focused on delivering a step change in access around testing, particularly for cardiovascular disease, which is the world's number one killer. My father had a very large cardiovascular event when I was younger, much younger. So I've always been personally very interested in this area, particularly because even though it's a disease that kills millions of people, actually it's largely preventable. And one of the big gating factors in treatment or people improving their health is actually access to, for example, a 5-marker lipid panel. So our first test that we've developed with Pogdoc is a smartphone-based, app-based 5-marker lipid panel that can be taken anywhere. So it's a simple finger prick. It can be done home, community setting, doctor's clinic, wherever, and results within 6 minutes. So my journey really began. I've always been interested in venture-backed technology. I've always been involved in some elements of VC-backed, globally scaled businesses like that. And so I've always been interested in how companies, or being interested in involved with ventures that can deliver really 0 to 1, you know, step changes in particular industries, whether it be consumer or B2B or anything where there's genuinely an opportunity to do something that's never been done before, to make a real impact on the world. I'm extremely impact driven, and it's real honor to be able to have built the team that we've built now. We're based in Cambridge. That's where our research laboratories are. And it's a real pleasure to watch the team and the company scale now in the UK, and then in good time we'll be launching in the US. So I guess that's sort of my journey, really has been predominantly from a technology background. My two co-founders are more from the sort of scientific clinical background, but together we make a great team.
Yeah, I mean, definitely multidisciplinary is the way to go. And I had the time to explore the digital presence of Pogdoc. And the first thing that I saw was lateral flow test. And where did my mind go?
Yeah,
COVID.
Right?
COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Then finally I was like, all right, this is something. And then I was like, and for one moment I was like, no, God, this is not a swab test. This is a blood test, Stefan.
I think it's a good, point though. And you know, we'd started the company just before COVID, and you know, lateral flow is traditionally used for a yes/no response, pregnancy, COVID, a whole bunch of other infectious diseases. So what's called a qualitative test, so yes or no, or you know, invalid. We've developed lateral flow tests that can be read accurately via our AI-driven AI image analysis pipeline, which is cloud-based, to provide a quantitative result. So that's not something that anyone's really ever done before, particularly not with multi-marker on the same test. And it unlocks that by using lateral flow, which is the cheapest, most cost-effective testing platform in the world. It actually unlocks that huge step change that drives me particularly around the access. So, you know, I think that. And I think the other thing to mention around COVID is that as a result of COVID, you know, I think we all wish COVID hadn't happened. I don't think anyone's going to be like, yeah, that was great for everybody. But the in terms of consumer behavior and acceptance of testing yourself, being tested, regularly testing, you know, being more aware, wanting access to diagnostics, wanting easy access to diagnostics, a huge upswing in what we call personal diagnostics or demand for personal diagnostics. All of that has been hugely, hugely helpful to us. To be fair to us, we were talking about that stuff before COVID, but certainly that massive sea change in consumer and clinician and system organization behavior has been really helpful to us. And from the beginning, we actually believed that there was a role to play for a cloud-based platform, diagnostics platform, which is what we've built, that can actually digitize any lateral flow test. So the work that we did during COVID with the UK government and with a number of other parties was around digitizing the results of a COVID lateral flow test so that you had full traceability, you could verify the result, the data and results could be immediately sent directly to where they need to be based, sent to, because you can integrate from the cloud diagnostic platform straight back up into the, you know, the electronic health record or any other healthcare provider. So our view was that lateral flow tests, there's already a huge universe out there. And actually by being able to develop our own tests where none existed before, so cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, particularly around HbA1c, female hormone health panel, which is sort of our future roadmap, and being able to do that quantitatively on lateral flow, as well as digitize any existing lateral flow, would be really, really valuable. And another proof point of that, following our work with the UK government, we came to the attention of an organization called PATH, which is one of the largest NGOs in the world. They're partly funded by the Gates Foundation. And they already had a polio lateral flow test that they wanted to deploy in areas of polio outbreak. So where there's a polio outbreak, quick surveillance is absolutely critical. But one of the things with surveillance is that just testing people is not enough. So just distributing a lateral flow test, which is a simple piece of plastic, is not enough. You need to be able to digitize, verify, transmit that information immediately back to the surveillance authorities, whoever they happen to be. And these locations where the outbreaks happen are hundreds, if not thousands of miles away from the nearest pathology lab. So we developed, we adapted our PocDoc Cloud diagnostic platform and deployed it with them through the PocDoc Polio app that we developed with them. And we hope in Q1, Q2 next year, that would be deployed at scale across Pakistan, Senegal, and Tunisia to help scale polio rapid testing in areas where there is no access to a pathology lab.
Wow, I mean, Steve, I'm coming from a public health background. So when you talk about surveillance, you talk about, you know, moving from not just the test, but also the data, the reporting, the analytics.
Yeah.
You know, this is music to my ears.
Well, so, and also, like, if you think about if you think about what's important for population health, is cost effectiveness is one massive factor, right? So sending out hugely expensive test boxes, right, that have been, you know, that have all kinds of complex components to them in the rural areas of Pakistan where these diseases are just isn't fit for purpose. I'm not saying anything about those boxes, right? Those clinically, those boxes might be magnificent at providing extremely high fidelity results in a clinical setting, but not really practical when you're looking to screen large volumes of people in areas with low socioeconomic indicators at scale really quickly. It's just not fit for purpose.
Yeah, like if I look at the smartphone here, it has really been a game changer and it has helped us kind of make these links actually between, you know, the cloud, you know, the bringing the tests available to the masses, like these, all these different pieces of the puzzle. And it's like magical that you guys have been able to deliver this so seamlessly. Tell me a bit more.
Yeah, so we published some research recently that was picked up in the UK by Sky News and the Daily Mail, which was around people's attitudes to cholesterol testing and attitudes to using their smartphone to do that type of testing. And the results were amazing. So 78% of people in the UK are worried about their cholesterol, but the same number, almost exactly 78%, have never had their cholesterol tested. These are over 50s. And the main reason is that they don't want to overburden the NHS and they can't get an appointment. Those are the top two reasons. But over two-thirds, so nearly 70% of people would be more than happy to test themselves at home or be tested outside of a GP surgery. So that says that there's this huge problem. People are extremely concerned about overloading the existing health system. They can't get an appointment anyway, but they're really open to this new area of how do I access testing? And that's where we come in, which is what we're working with. We recently announced a partnership with Novartis and the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital Group. And we're working with a number of other NHS organizations, as well as rolling out through community pharmacies and corporate wellness programs across the UK, predominantly to just deliver access to simple lipid testing, simple cardiovascular assessment, and then put people on those pathways for future treatment in an easy, cost-effective, highly scalable, highly usable way, because it's all through the PocDoc app.
Yeah, I mean, really wonderful, Steve, like even like seeing all these different links coming to fruition. But like, it's so funny because you naturally answered my second question.
Look at that, which is really great.
Like, you see, I don't even need to ask you. Just like naturally go into it.
I'm like a podcaster, you know, like I kind of know.
There might be something going on there, but I also think that from what I can see, that you're so passionate about your work that inevitably you really and truly kind of brought all of this together. And it's like really promising and really like forward looking. But let's look at the bigger picture now, Steve.
Yeah.
And let's say we look at the future of digital health and medtech. Yeah. Don't say now, but
that's a pretty big topic.
Yeah, it is a really, really huge one. But I'm sure you can handle it. I'm 100% sure you can handle it. How do you see PocDoc fitting into the whole picture? Like, let's say 5 or 10 years down the line. You already started giving some hints about this when you were even mentioning the female hormone profile.
Yeah.
But how do you see PocDoc fitting into the bigger picture of digital health and medtech? Like, how do you see it evolving?
I mean, I think that there are different themes within digital health and medtech that are now coming to the fore. Obviously, you know, leveraging artificial intelligence to provide better diagnostic decisions, you know, clearly more cost effective is one. Another one that's really where we fit is access, just fundamentally access, that there are so many conditions where there is a requirement or an incentive to test regularly and to monitor your results. This is even before you may have a disease. This is in the self-care, living more healthily, living a happier life. And access to regular testing is just not fit for purpose at this point in time. So the options are you go to your healthcare provider, which in the UK is the NHS, and it's really difficult to get an appointment. And for a lot of the markers, you wouldn't be able to get a test anyway. Or you go private, and that might be hundreds of pounds. And similarly, anything around that space is taking days, if not weeks, to get the results back. And you might have to go in a second time, and it's very, very disjointed. So we believe in being able to provide access to anyone that's looking to get tested or be tested for a range of conditions where there's a real value to the patient and to the system in A, the test being done quickly, the results being available quickly, whether that it means that person can be treated or can be provided with advice or can be put on a pathway. And similarly, where there's real value in building out real-time downstream ecosystem, post-test ecosystem. So what does that pathway look like after that person's done a test? We believe in working directly with healthcare providers, so embedding ourselves in those existing pathways so that we can work alongside them to deliver those results and deliver better outcomes. So our belief is that by increasing access, we'll increase compliance, increase people in treatment, and ultimately increase health outcomes in a significantly more cost-effective manner. So for us, it's around building out within each test area that we're looking at, whether that's lipids and cardiovascular disease or any of the others on our roadmap, really going deep into that pathway, you know, from front to back with as many healthcare providers as we can that exist and are working in that pathway. And then moving on through the different areas where our technology can apply, which is extensive, really, really extensive. And by building out on lateral flow, we benefit from all of the scalability, cost efficiencies of doing that. So I think that this area of access for us access is going to get harder. Also, there's also there's issues around health inequality. You know, the access to services differs massively depending upon where you live and what your socioeconomic grouping is and what your ethnic background is. So there's all of these areas where access is becoming or is already a critical component. And it's innovators like us and all of the other people in medtech and digital health who are doing amazing things that will be able to deliver this change and this improvement. I mean, I think that if you look at the kind of broader arc of where the industry's going and the need, if you like, the demand side of the equation is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Like, people are living longer, people are less healthy, there are more of us, services are creaking, they're less well funded, you know, so technology is going to have to play that role, and is already trying to. So I think that there's a big opportunity to make a big difference, not with our technology, obviously, but more generally, to fit in. And again, you know, a lot of one of the amazing things about health technology is that the problems are largely universal, right? That you're dealing with. It's not like an English problem or a German problem or a, you know, American problem. These are global issues. And so if there's a way to solve them, then there's no reason why those solutions couldn't apply globally, which is certainly something that's very, very exciting.
Wow, Steve, you kind of blew my mind in the past, like the past couple of sentences, and it gets me thinking a lot, like how, I mean, for example, in Malta, the idea of self-testing, you know, took Malta by storm, especially during COVID.
Yeah, you guys were quite advanced on the COVID stuff, right? I think
we were doing quite a lot of them.
Yeah, I think you were quite, you know, a bit like Estonia. You were quite kind of on the early adoption curve, I heard, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to be involved in the setting up the systems, so I'm happy that I contributed a bit there.
Yeah.
But even more interestingly, Steve, is this idea of self-testing. Before, self-testing was seen as a really alien topic, and the fact that COVID came and kind of told us to rethink and told us to focus on the outcome. And you mentioned something even more interesting before, that you are like, you're very much focused on impact. And just today, actually today or 2 days ago, WHO just released a digital implementation guide.
Okay.
And in some special section of this guide, there are five main steps: input, process, output, outcome,
yeah,
and last but not least, impact.
Yeah, of course.
So without those four steps before, like the input, process, output, the data coming in,
yeah,
the training, communication, all these things coming together to bring about the impact. And I think that's what, like, PogDoc has a big role in the future. And I really hope that you succeed in this. I really hope that you succeed.
Thank you.
In fact, when I'm thinking of lipid tests, I'm also thinking somehow, you know, of some nationwide screening programs, but...
Yeah, the population health screening is a big opportunity.
But like, then my public health hat comes on, and I need to make sure that it's cost effective, that,
yeah, of course,
that it fits the screening criteria.
But I tell you what isn't cost effective right now is to try and get every person over 40 to go and have 6 monthly blood checks using the pathology lab system. That's not cost effective, right? That's not going to work. Compliance with that's been proven to be extremely low. I mean, the data on that is in. I mean, there are NHS groups in the UK where compliance with an annual health check, just annual, is less than 10%. So, like, you know, so this idea that I feel like it's compared, we've got to be careful to compare apples to apples here, which is the sense of, you know, some people say, oh, well, you know, how much is your kit going to cost? And, oh, well, you know, the labs in the NHS labs, and it's, you know, it's really cheap and so on and so forth. It's like, well, first of all, you can do the pounds and pence, and we would argue that we're going to be more cost effective once you put in all of the administrative costs, the postage, the shipping, the couriering, all of the organizing of the appointments, the cancellations, the new letters, all of that stuff, if you look at it fully loaded. But even if you don't, the point here is that people aren't going to be tested, right? They can't get appointments. They're not going, even if they do. So none of that stuff's happening. And if you look at the lipid pathway, or the you know, lipid lowering therapy pathway, which is the single most effective way of reducing cardiovascular events, or, you know, cardiac events in the healthcare system, is through lipid lowering therapies, as well as lifestyle change, then you see that the single gating factor is a 5-marker lipid panel, right? So you can't go down that pathway with 5-marker lipid panel. So what you should be comparing to is the cost and the implications of all of the 90%, for example, of people that are not being tested, that should be, that are eligible, versus the cost and the impact of what happens when you start to test them and you make it more accessible, not just at home, but, you know, we have networks of high street pharmacies using our product. We've got high street retailers. You know, we've got all of these locations in the community where it's a blended approach. So if some people want to do it at home, okay, cool. But they can, you know, even if, for example, some of our GP partners are looking to use this in their clinic, because it's 6 minutes for a result, which they can have right there and then, and you can take action right there and then with the patient because they're right there. They don't need to send the blood off to the lab. They don't need to get the person back in for another consult. And also, they don't need a higher banded person to do a venous blood draw because it's just a finger prick. So when you start to think about the massive upside in convenience and speed and access that what PocDoc's doing can deliver, you start to realize, well, actually, the comparison isn't necessarily against, well, you know, a lab test over here costs X and PocDoc costs Y. It's really that you're comparing zero to one in the sense of people aren't being tested and you need to be able to reach those people and get those people tested. So that's sort of how we think about the health economics of it anyway.
Interesting, Steve. When it comes to health economics, it's very interesting to see all these different perspectives coming in. But I have a little surprise for you, Steve.
Oh, yeah?
So usually at the very end of our podcast, we just invite our guests to raise awareness. Like, you have 1 minute to raise awareness on any topic of your choice. It doesn't have to be healthcare, but something that really you keep close to your heart. And with that in mind, 1 minute is yours, Steve.
Sure. Well, I'll take something that's very close to my heart, which is heart health, obviously, which is what PocDoc's all about. So anyone that's over 40, well, anyone in general, but anyone over 40 should take very good care of themselves, particularly around their heart health. And that starts with understanding what your biomarkers are around heart health, which means a 5-marker lipid panel. You should go get yourself checked, whether it's using PocDoc or whether it's somewhere. You should be looking to get that checked once a year at least. And if you have elevated levels, more frequently than that. There's two things that you can do to improve it. One is lifestyle change, and the other is looking at lipid lowering therapies. But you have to do that, obviously, under consultation with your clinician. But cardiovascular disease is largely preventable, largely manageable. So there's no need for anyone to have to go through the catastrophe of losing somebody, or, you know, even somebody, you know, like my father ending up sort of bedridden for you know, a year or two as a result of the stroke that he had when he was 43. So that would be the 1 minute that I would do. If I had more minutes, there would be different topics. But I think let's keep it focused on what PocDoc's mission is.
So that was lovely because it was the first time that heart health was mentioned. So
that's good.
So that your 1 minute was truly unique.
And with that,
it was truly unique. Definitely. I love it, really.
Yeah,
really
like great. It. I like being unique.
Yeah, and Steve, first of all, I'm really looking forward to having you in Malta.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it.
A little bird told me that he'll be coming over. And with that in mind, I would like to thank you, first and foremost, as we come to the end of our podcast. We'd like to do them now a bit short and sweet. And I would like to thank to all our audience. You can follow us on our social media channels through MedTechWorld. But if you look up on your favorite podcast player, the Digital Health Voice, you'll find us out. And we hope that we have Steve's episode very soon out for you, available. And we really can't wait to have you over in Malta. And
yeah, with that in mind,
we see you at the next interview. Good. Cheers, everyone.
Thanks a lot. Lovely to be on.